Welcome to Maintenance Phase, the podcast that eats 6 egg whites and never a carb.
Oh.
That's bad. the podcast that boils your seaweed. I need to read Vogue more. I don't consume all that many of these.
How about, I got one.
Ooh, do it.
Welcome to Maintenance Phase, the podcast where we're dissecting. Nope, never mind. I lost it.
Where we're dissecting.
I was going to say something about like the podcast that tells you what it eats and it turns out it's an eating disorder, but it's cool because we're famous. But that's not actually what we're doing.
The taglines should definitely get longer and more baroque the longer we do this. It should be like a Fiona Apple album name.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm Michael Hobbs, but you know that.
I'm Aubrey Gordon. If you want to support the podcast, you're already doing that. Thank you.
You're here. Hello.
Hello.
I'm not totally clear what we're doing today. All I know is two words, celebrity diets.
Okay, so Michael Hobbs, I would just like it on the fucking record that I have gone the extra mile for this goddamn podcast.
What have you
which
done?
Which is Harper's Bazaar has a series of videos called Everything I Eat in a Day.
Oh, okay.
Where celebrities talk about their daily routines and everything they eat in a day. I have watched 100% of available Everything I Eat in a Day. I've watched all of them.
How many is that?
I don't know, man. Like 30? There's like a whole video where Ian Somerhalder talks about how he's raising his kids in a zero waste lifestyle in LA, which is just like, that can't be true.
He's working on having his ally tattoo removed. Yeah.
Michael.
Work in progress.
There's another video. There's a Gwyneth Paltrow video. We're not going to watch it today because it's not super exciting.
Okay.
But basically she describes what she eats and it's absolutely no solids until lunch.
Wait, really?
Yes. She's like, I just have a big glass of water and then I wake up my kids and I have another big glass of water and then I have a big glass of water with Goop Glow in it. And then the one exception that she makes is she says, unless she's hungover, in which case she has either an egg sandwich or an IV.
Wait, an IV? Like a drip?
She's like, that's a good trick for when you're hungover, you should get an IV.
Wait, what? She has a fucking saline drip in her arm?
I have no idea. There's no explaining of like, where do you go to get an IV?
How does one?
What if you're not Gwyneth Paltrow?
This sounds like exactly your favorite brand of deranged.
I love it so much. So I'm out here being like, I did this for the show and you should all be grateful. And it's truly just like me sitting with popcorn, just like grinning and being like, tell me more about your nonsense food, Gwyneth.
Dude, I mean, I've watched all the Vogue has Get Ready With Me's. Get Ready's with me.
Oh my God. It's a very similar brand.
But that's like makeup, so it's like less problematic. It's just like thin women rubbing creams on their skin, but it's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, totally. So I pulled clips from 3 different celebrity diet videos.
Fabulous.
So the people we're going to talk about today are Anthony Porosky from Queer Eye.
Oh, wait, who's that? I haven't watched that show in years. Not since like the original one.
Oh, okay. So he's hot food guy.
Oh, okay.
He's from the new Queer Eye. He's like extremely, like, the internet has the biggest boner for this guy.
Okay.
And you'll see, he's very fucking handsome.
See, I'm 39. I don't see internet boners anymore. I'm not like on that part of the internet.
You'll see it.
The internet boners pass me by.
You'll see it. So we'll talk about him. We'll talk about Kelly Ripa from Live with, I think it's Kelly and Ryan now. Is that right?
Okay.
And then we're going to talk about Tiffany Haddish.
Who's that? Sorry.
Michael.
I'm sorry.
She's like, okay, do a Google image search for Tiffany Haddish.
Have I seen her before? Is that why you're doing this to me?
You totally have. Haddish. She's another person who's been in fucking everything.
Haddish.
She was in Girls Trip, but you don't watch movies. God damn it.
Oh, I know her.
You should read up on her because I feel like you would genuinely really fucking adore her.
She seems nice. I've seen her in things.
So we're going to talk about a bunch of celebrity diets. They're going to be fucking wackadoodle-doo.
Yeah, this is not a, like, this is not an advice episode.
No, don't do any of the things that we're about to talk about.
Mike and Aubrey tell you how to live your life.
Also, as part of that, there's not really any way to talk about, like, almost any celebrity diet without talking about disordered eating, right? Is what I learned from these fucking videos.
Yeah.
So just, like, know that if it's going to be hard for you to hear descriptions of disordered eating, or like whether or not something is quote unquote worth the calories or whatever, this might not be the episode for you.
Yes.
What I learned from these videos is that just a fucking commanding majority of them strike me as having relationships with food that are anything but neutral.
I mean, it is kind of darkly fascinating that people put this stuff out into the public sphere.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff is like kind of troubling behavior that a lot of doctors would look at and be like, ooh, probably shouldn't be doing that. And yet these are some of the most, I hate this word now, but influential people in our society who are just like, this is what I do every day.
Yep, totally. Can I ask you, do you watch or have you watched any past seasons of The Great British Bake Off?
Are you fucking kidding me? Yes, absolutely.
Yay!
Yes, every single one, like twice.
Okay,
yes.
Perfecto.
Is this about Ruby?
No.
No, who's it about? Okay.
It's about Nadia Hussein, the fucking joy of everyone's world.
Yeah, she was great.
Doing some extremely tailored Michael Hobbs content.
Justice for Ruby. Justice for Nadia, justice for all of the wronged women of that show.
Well, didn't Nadia win?
Yeah, but like the British media treated her fucking terribly.
Oh, I'm sure. I have no doubt.
It was miserable.
Okay,
yeah.
So her Everything I Eat Today is legit really good.
Okay.
It's clear that she loves food. It's clear that she's excited about what she eats. And it's clear that she's like jazzed to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, fabulous.
And every meal that she mentions is like a real meal. And there's a little Easter egg in there.
Ooh.
That I was like, okay, so Mike, we're going to do a little vintage maintenance phase moment here. Ooh. Do you remember, this was, I don't know, a year or two ago, you and I were talking on an episode of the show about you living in London and hearing from, I think it was your boyfriend at the time,
mm-hmm.
that like there was a classy and fancy and posh way to cut toast. And there was like an unclassy and non-fancy and like working class way to cut toast. Do you remember this?
I remember this vividly.
Okay. So I have a clip for you.
Oh.
So I will toast the bread and then I'll put the cheese on top. And then I'll put it under the grill and then I'll let that, I forgot completely. It's a routine, it's a way of life. So you toast the brown bread, take it out, let it cool down, and then take Marmite and lather it on. So there's loads of Marmite on there and like all the way to the edges, and then big chunks of cheese on top. And then I grill that till it's toasty and then take that out. And while it's bubbling, just allow it to cool just enough so you don't burn your mouth. Always cut it into triangles. Never, I'm not into the whole straight down the middle. That's weird. Triangle.
What?
And then
what?
Always a pickled onion.
It's real.
That's it.
So this deranged thing that my boyfriend once said to me in London is like canon? It's like, this is how British people cut bread?
According to Nadia Hussein, it is. I just saw that and I was like, I had a little yelp to myself.
Oh my God. So the fight that I had with my boyfriend in like 2003, I've officially lost.
I just saw it. I was just like, this is too good. The rest of her video is lovely. You should totally watch it. It sounds great.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my little like amuse-bouche. Just a little treat. Now we're going to switch into our starter and then we've got a main course.
Oh,
I'm deciding right now.
Let's keep it. Keep the metaphor. Run it.
So this is Hot Food Dude from Queer Eye, from the current Queer Eye.
Mm-hmm.
This is him talking about his own food regimen. And I think part of what's really interesting about this is that you can sort of feel the tension throughout this video between him being this sort of like front facing food person and him being like a gay heartthrob, which demand two very different performances around food and weight and all kinds of stuff.
Hi guys, I'm Anthony Porosky and this is Everything I Eat in a Day. I used to eat breakfast, but what I realize is that when I eat breakfast earlier on, I get more tired in the afternoon. But when I did used to have breakfast, one of my favorite things to have is I love a crispy egg in the morning. With just like a slice of some kind of like a sourdoughy type bread. I throw it on a grill pan. Yes, it takes a little bit longer than putting in a toaster, but I love having that char and the little grill marks and just rubbing like a little bit of fresh garlic maybe on it, like you would do with a bruschetta, a little bit of olive oil. And on that, I'm gonna smear some butter, room temperature, of course, because there's no other way, with Vegemite. Oh yeah, I've also fanned out an avocado. And then you put the crispy egg on there with some microgreens or cilantro, and then some chili flakes for a bit of heat. Again, a little bit more olive oil, and then some Maldon salt because you want to get a nice little crunchy salt when you bite into it. I miss breakfast. Maybe I'm going to start having breakfast again.
All right, there you go.
So he's saying that he doesn't eat breakfast, but then he like erotically describes this breakfast that he used to have and clearly pines for.
Yes, that's the entire video. The next section is he's like, I don't eat dairy anymore, but when I used to get these unpasteurized cheeses from Canada.
Oh, interesting.
And I'd get this special kind of ham. You like, no, you're eating all this food and you're not working out and you're just going to like be in a food coma. And it was amazing, but I don't eat dairy anymore.
Hmm.
It's this really bizarre, like ghosts of meals past way of describing food for someone who is like a food person, right? Like his job is recipes and food. And the whole video is just like, I mostly fast now, but when I used to eat, I used to eat this incredible, delicious, gorgeous thing.
What is your like emotional reaction watching this?
It makes me sad.
Yeah.
It feels like someone who really loves food and who's not eating fucking food.
And you think that's because he has to maintain his like his gay cheekbones or whatever?
I don't know how much of it. I mean, this is like a conversation I'd be interested to have with you. Is like, I don't know how much of it is trying to maintain a particular body type and how much of it is a social performance.
Right.
I think this is a thing that happens a lot with straight ladies in my experience, that there is like, regardless of someone's actual body type, that like when other straight women are present, that you refuse lots of kinds of food that are offered to you, right? That you're like, oh no, I couldn't possibly. Oh no, I'm watching my figure.
Oh.
I mean, I do feel like in some gay men spaces that I've been in, there has been quite a bit of like, I can't, I'm going to the gym. I can't, I'm blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I have to perform a relationship to food and like fitness, essentially. And it feels like that might be at play here. It might also genuinely be like,
yeah,
this is really and truly what he does every day. That might be it too. I don't know.
It's so looks oriented with gay men in my experience. Yeah. I don't think they judge like your habits. They just care how you look. So like if you have the sort of lean Guy Pearson memento muscular body, like I don't know that people particularly give a shit if you like go jogging or have a salad or what you do, or at least this is completely anecdotal in my own experience. I haven't seen judgment of gay men by other gay men on their habits. I've only seen judgment on their looks.
Right. And their habits only come into play if their looks are not what they're quote unquote supposed to be. Right.
So like if they're fat, then it's like, oh, I can't believe he had meh.
Yeah.
But then if you're quote unquote hot, then people like don't care. It's just like, oh, you've achieved the thing that you're supposed to achieve. So you don't have to perform anything.
Yeah. Again, it just feels like there's not really a way. So like he's like food dude, but he also posts like all these thirst traps, right? He has like a number of like shirtless fucking photos on his Instagram.
Wait, what?
Like,
you know what? How I mean? Did you not send me these links? Where? What? Wait. Instagram. Pawrowski?
P-O-R-O-W-S-K-I.
Oh, wow. Jesus fucking Christ.
Right.
He actually looks to me in that video, he actually looks like reasonably normal. I don't know that I would see him on the street and be like, oh my God, this guy's obviously like super ripped. But he's like really fucking ripped.
He's really fucking ripped.
Yeah. I mean, okay, this makes more sense to me now.
Right. So there's like his Instagram is just like alternating photos that are like total thirst traps of him, photos of him at work, and then like photos of food.
Oh, yeah. True.
So it is a weird, it feels like the gay men's equivalent of like Women's World magazine or whatever the ones are that are like, lose 26 pounds in 5 days. Also make our triple chocolate tiered layer cake or whatever, right? Like where it's like both like extremely indulgent recipe plus like also lose all this weight. Wow.
On some level, maybe gay men are like allowed to be honest about the level of restriction that it takes to look like this in a way that women aren't. I don't know, because like to have, I don't know, whatever he has, like 4% body fat or something, and to be like this muscular.
Yeah.
He's probably in the gym 5 days a week and like eating, yeah, a pretty restricted diet to look like that. So yeah, I guess you watch this video and you're like, yeah, this is a guy who doesn't eat very much and like spends a lot of time at the gym.
And misses food.
I'm like so much sadder now that I see how ripped he is.
Right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I mean, I get kind of sad whenever I see ripped people like in general. But like this, now it like sort of makes sense to me.
Wait, talk to me about your sadness when you see ripped people in general.
Well, I mean, some people are like genetically ripped, right? But like in general, to have the sort of conventional beauty standards just involves like an incredible amount of lifestyle restriction.
Yeah, that's right.
Like not everybody, but like I know people, like I'm a gay man. I know people that have like six packs and like I know the way that they eat and the way that they live. And it's like, right. Yeah, it's really fucking hard. And it's like something that you essentially have to like think about all the time to maintain that. And so that's basically your job, to like look like this.
Yeah, in part because this kind of like muscle definition doesn't actually organically exist in humans, right?
Right.
It's like a very recent beauty standard thing.
Yeah.
Beauty standard / health standard thing, to be like healthy bodies and athletic or, you know, muscular bodies look like this. Like this version of muscularity that we have has been being refined over the last like 40 to 60 years as yeah. like a way that bodies should look. It's definitely something that people have to work at because it's like very, very, very uncommon to see that without like an intense amount of like really, really, I don't know what, bizarre right. and sad restriction.
Because if you look at like Cary Grant or Marlon Brando or something, when they were at their like peak of hotness, they were thin, but they weren't like cut like in this very low body fat percentage, very muscular kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that essentially doesn't exist without like specifically trying and in this like optimized, like min-max way that involves like going to the gym a lot. Like, I don't think that you could look like this from just like playing Frisbee a lot.
Right. There's like very few people who are like, oh, my body just naturally settles this way. Right. I have a fucking 8-pack or whatever. Right. Right. Where you're like, no, that's like a series of choices that you've made.
Right. Right.
And this, what we're seeing here is, at least for this person, that here's the cost of that,
yeah.
you know, appearance.
So is this where we can talk about Kumail Nanjiani?
Yeah, totally. So as we're recording this, Kumail Nanjiani just dropped an interview about his own sort of struggles with body image and the process, the like very painful process of sort of changing his body so that he could change his career path.
And like looking super ripped, like he has one of these bodies.
And looking super ripped.
Yeah.
And he talks in what I would describe as painful detail about how hard that whole process has been for him.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
What
yeah.
did you tell me what you thought about this interview, Mike?
Well, we had like the same reaction to the article, which yeah. is that like he just seems like a really nice guy, and like yeah. this article shouldn't exist in some way, that it's basically him talking about how he got really buff for like a role, I think. And these photos came out of him like being super ripped. And it was like not an actor who you would associate with being ripped. It's not like, oh, Christian, the new Christian Bale movie and he's ripped again. You'd be like, fine.
Yeah.
But it's like an actor who had been associated with comedies. And then the internet, of course, explodes. And there's all this kind of like discourse about like this person that we didn't expect to be really ripped is super ripped now. And he becomes like significantly more famous and significantly more target of discussion than he had ever been before, which honestly sounds awful.
Yeah, it sure does.
The discourse on him is like, oh, you know, it's so sad that he has to do this to get roles. So like that was part of the discourse. And then now that this article came out where he speaks openly about like how bad it is and how it's like not worth the trouble basically to like look this ripped. Then it's like, oh, the actor, oh, the ripped guy wants to complain about how hard it is to be hot.
Yeah.
Like then it becomes like this weird backlash of like, oh, sympathy for the hot guy. And it's like, no, it's just like a human trying to tell you human stuff.
I was going to say, I think part of what sort of shaped my thinking about this is something that you talked about on You're Wrong About, which was this idea that like sort of the way that we treat the royals is a human rights abuse.
Yes.
Is it the number one human rights abuse we need to be concerned about in the world? No.
Right.
But is it a human rights abuse? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
And I left this profile feeling similarly. That is like, this is not an experience that a human being should have to have.
Yes.
Whether that's because they're very fat, whether that's because they're very muscular, whether that's because they're very thin, whatever their body looks like. And like, because of power structures in society, it means it's most likely to impact the folks who are closest to and furthest from the beauty standard, right? It's like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Right. That like the stories about like, you know, best and worst beach bodies that show up in tabloids are like, it can't exist with just the best and it can't exist with just the worst.
Yeah.
You got to do both. This piece is kind of, this interview is kind of shaking me a little bit.
Well, it's also,
you know?
it's darkly funny to me because male actors over the last 5 years keep telling you that like, yeah, this sucks and it's bad and it's not good for them. Like,
yeah,
Zac Efron has talked about this. The guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has talked about this. Kumail Nanjiani is now talking about this. Like, getting buff, like the lifestyle that you have to maintain to look like this sucks ass. It's like, you're just, I think he said at one point, like, I'm walking around like a goblin with these like hard boiled eggs in my pockets.
Yeah.
And also like, once people start commenting on you with those looks, that's also really bad. So it's,
yeah,
like, it's just like, this isn't working out for literally anyone.
I really fucking appreciate people of all genders, but particularly like men in this moment and like male actors who are really puncturing this myth of like, it's fine and good,
right,
to live this way. Right.
Right.
Like I genuinely do feel like in some ways this interview with Kumail is a fucking heartbreaker. And in other ways, it is kind of a service to be like, this is bad and you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, like these are dumb and bad beauty standards and they're not working for the people who reach those beauty standards.
Yeah, yes.
I keep thinking of Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, got really buff for George of the Jungle. Same thing, like 2% body fat, super muscular, blah, blah, blah. But like, you can't maintain that body type over the long term. It's really hard on your body. And so I think he got a shoulder injury. And so he couldn't work out. And so he like ended up gaining a bunch of weight and like losing a bunch of film roles and basically disappearing from Hollywood for like years. And then, mm-hmm, when he would be spotted in public, he had gained a lot of weight. And then he becomes this figure of like ridicule and scorn, mm-hmm, which is like what happens to most people after they get super ripped is like you often end up gaining a lot of weight because you can't maintain that lifestyle forever. And it like fucks up your metabolism and it's like really hard afterwards to like transition back to like a normal lifestyle.
Totally.
Being in this kind of shape, like, I don't want to say like ruined his career, but like significantly hampered his career and also totally changed the way that he was perceived by the public. It was almost like this betrayal that like, oh, you used to be like buff, like your true form. You had it for a while and now you're appearing as like whatever, 30 pounds heavier, whatever he was. And it's like, oh, how dare you?
Right.
In a way that I don't think he would have gotten if he had just been that size to begin with.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Val Kilmer has gotten some of this.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser also did a profile years ago. I'll see if I can find it and I'll send it to you because it seems like something that is up your alley, where he also just talks about like, I disappeared from the industry for a while because it was way too fucking intense and because I had really intense anxiety.
Yeah.
And like mental health issues that I was taking on that were like very related to my job.
Again, people keep telling you it's really bad.
Right. People tell you all the time in so many ways.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Who's our next, what's the next celebrity we're going to laugh at?
Wah, wah. Anyway, have all this empathy for all these people. Now let's talk about Kelly Ripa.
The problematic ones are fine, though.
So what would you say about Kelly Ripa for the uninitiated?
God, this is a name that's not crossed my ears in years.
Yeah,
TV talk show host, right? Kathy and Regis? Kelly and Regis?
Live with Regis and Kathy Lee has not been a thing for like, I'm going to say a solid 20 years.
I know. I was going to be like, she's the sweatshops one, but that's from like 1993.
No, Kelly Ripa replaced Kathy Lee Gifford on Live with Regis and Kathy Lee, which then became Live with Regis and Kelly. Now it's her and Ryan Seacrest.
Oh.
So she's like a television personality is how I would put her, right? Morning talk show host, softball interviews with celebrities, tall stools and big mugs of coffee.
We are looking at a still right now. And if I saw her at the grocery store, I would not recognize her. I would just be like, oh, there's a nice looking lady.
There's a nice looking rich lady, I feel like is what I would think.
Congratulations on your necklace. Yeah.
So what we're about to see is very clearly sponsored content from her vitamin company.
Oh, my God. There's always a vitamin company.
And from her, like, greens, like one of those dried green powder companies.
Love it.
Boy, oh boy, does this lady hit on a lot of health fads.
You know those songs when you learn like all 50 states and you like put them in a song? They should do that with the fad diets to make it easier.
There's cabbage soup and keto. And yeah, totally. Yeah. I like it. And some paleo.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm Kelly Ripa, and this is everything I eat in a day. I wake up in the morning. Then I have a large coffee with ghee, and I blend it in the bullet. And while I'm having my ghee, I have my Persona morning supplements, which is my foundational vitamin. And so that's phase one. Then I host my morning show. You're going to say, Kelly, do you eat anything? Not before I talk on the air. So I don't have any sort of chewing food before I talk on the air. I eat lunch at such a weird hour. It's really like a breakfast lunch. I have a big salad of microgreens with avocado and toasted nuts on top. Sometimes I have pine nuts. Sometimes I have pumpkin seeds. The avocado toast kick of 2015 to 2017 was 2 years where avocado toast was pretty much the foundation of my diet.
All right, pause. I feel like the greatest sign that I'm becoming an old person is not that, like, I don't know who any of the celebrities are anymore. It's that, like, I don't know what the foods are anymore.
Oh.
So the whole avocado toast thing, I only heard of avocado toast for the first time when it became, like, an economic thing. They were like, millennials are eating too much avocado toast. Uh-huh. But, like, I had not encountered this in the wild.
Oh, really?
So it's just like slices of avocado on toast.
It's really lovely. I went through a real big, like, I would do a fucking fancy avocado toast often for breakfast. I did one where I would like rub the bread with garlic. Now this is my everything I eat in a day.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I would rub it with garlic, put mashed avocado on top, and then do steamed asparagus and basil leaves.
That sounds great.
It was delightful on some Dave's Killer Wheat.
Was that phase one or phase two of chew foods for you? What are your chew foods?
That was before I gave up chewing foods, but let me tell you about this thing that I used to eat. Fuck, man.
So I'm at 255. Where are you?
I'm at 259.
I try not to have that many cheat meals because cheat meals leads to sort of like a cheat lifestyle. At my age, I find that it takes too much effort to get ready, so I just stay ready. On my birthday, will I have cake? Of course, I'm not a monster. But in general terms, I try not to cheat too much. What I will indulge in is like a delicious chocolate-covered almond or chocolate-covered cashew, some sort of like, so I still feel like there's something healthy in there. I also have been making a chia pudding, and then right before bed, I have like a giant ginger turmeric tea, and that's everything I eat in a day. Now I'm hungry.
I'm hungry watching this.
I'm hungry and I'm sad.
What is your reaction to this? Like, why does this bum you out so much?
It bums me out for a couple of reasons. One is that this feels like an astonishingly restrictive way to eat. Mm-hmm. I did a little add up of everything she eats in a day, just sort of like calorically, and it's well under 1,000 calories. Like, well under 1,000 calories, right?
Yeah.
It made me profoundly sad because she talks about it in an upbeat and normal kind of way.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It is this profoundly restrictive diet and profoundly restrictive relationship to exercise and food that she doesn't talk about. And like, she talks about it like, this is great.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part, the like, this is great is the part that like bums me out. Right. I feel like what I am hungrier for is conversations like the Kumail Nanjiani conversation, which is just like, this kind of sucks. Or like, sometimes when I want something else, what I want is this, right? Like the fact that she talked about like, I try not to have cheat meals, which like, we need to do a whole fucking bonus episode just on the concept of cheat meals.
Oh yeah.
Right. Where I'm like, it's just food. You're just eating. You're not, this is not a moral transgression. You're just eating food.
What makes me sad about it, I don't know, people, I feel judgy talking about this in any specificity, but like, what makes me sad is that like, she is afraid of being like 20 pounds heavier and being a public figure in America. And on some level, like that's a reasonable fear.
Yes. Yes.
Like people who are public figures, especially women, gaining noticeable weight is the worst thing that you can do. And she knows that objectively she will receive criticism and a lot of really ugly speculation if she was 20 pounds heavier at the end of a year than she was last year. Even though like that's what happens to most people as they age and it's chill.
Yeah.
But like this whole lifestyle is to avoid her weight noticeably fluctuating.
Right.
And like that to me is like the sadder thing, that like she has to live like this. She has to look like a 27-year-old for like her entire life, basically.
Yeah, totally. It also feels very telling that throughout this video, she keeps talking about like at my age, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it feels like such a weird, like insular industry kind of moment where I'm like, oh, right. You're 51 and you're in front of the camera, which means people are constantly reminding you that you're 51.
Yeah. Sorry.
Woo, gazoot tight.
I tried to say yeah to affirm that I was listening and it came. I was like, no.
Please leave all of that.
Sorry.
But like, it just, I think part of what makes me so sad about this video, and that I absolutely want to hear your like emotional responses to it, are like, she really is talking, she's like living such an intense insular life in which her career is dependent on, as you say, like looking a certain way, right? And if she doesn't look that certain way, she absolutely fucking will be in magazines for not looking that way anymore. She absolutely will get like a barrage of like horrible tweets and internet comments. And it is a reality that she is sort of seems to be cheerfully accepting.
Yeah, and seems to have like internalized, like this is part of my job.
And seems to believe it. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And I'm just like, that makes me sad. That makes me sad that this is a reflection of, not about Kelly Ripa in particular. I got no beef with Kelly Ripa. I got no thoughts on Kelly Ripa, generally speaking, right? I'm just like, she's a lady who's on TV, sure. But it feels like a sad comment on the state of our world, in the same way that the Anthony Porosky one also seemed like a little bit of a sad state.
Yeah.
But again, he's also like working in this industry and he's positioned in a very specific way around a very specific idea of gay men and gay men's communities that requires him to look a certain way, or that he perceives requires him to look a certain way.
Yeah.
He also knows that, like, I am sure that there is, for both of them, money that they are currently getting that they would not be getting if they looked differently than they do now. Like, would Persona Vitamins have Kelly Ripa as their celebrity, you know, spokesperson?
Right.
If she was 20 pounds fatter or 40 pounds fatter, probably not.
The funny thing is I have like an emotional reaction to the Queer Eye one, because like I've been in that situation and I understand on a gut level the pressures on gay men. I think you have an emotional reaction to Kelly Ripa for the same reason.
Yeah, that's right.
But like, you have been a woman who diets.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever like dieted necessarily, or like felt pressure to diet. Because for men, it's like, it's all about like working out and like, you know, taking fucking creatine and like this weird, like the pressure is just so different. And like, dieting is just such a feminized kind of concept. It's interesting.
It really is. And it's like really troubling. There was some research, this was years and years and years ago, that a friend of a friend was doing. They shared with me that their findings were basically like, the people who are most susceptible to eating disorders are people who date men.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. Looks oriented. People who are looks oriented.
There you go.
Do you think that you know any woman who's never dieted?
No.
That's fucked up.
Well, hang on. No, I have one friend from high school who might not have dieted.
Okay.
Maybe not. She's a person who's always been naturally very, very thin. Mm-hmm. And she and I talked about it in high school that I was just like, I don't, she would like sit and eat like an entire bag of like family size Doritos. Mm-hmm. And I would like just be drinking water the whole time at like a sleepover, right? Like those would be our experiences. And then I remember distinctly offering her a glass of water at one point, and she's like, I don't really like the taste of water. And I was like, oh, this is a thing a thin person gets to say and do.
Oh.
A fat person absolutely does not get to be like, I'm not super into water.
Wait, really? That's like a coded thing?
I mean, I sort of thought of it that way. People are constantly like, certainly at that time when I was in high school, like the number one advice was like, drink a fuck ton of water before mealtime so that you will be full of water and you won't want to eat food.
Yeah.
And like, you have to stay hydrated if you want to lose weight. That's how fat passes through your body and escapes, is through, you know, through your urine. So like, you need to have plenty of pee to pee out all your fat.
I love the high school understanding of biology where it's like, you pee out all your fat.
You pee out your fucking
fat. That's where the fat goes.
Hydration was like a number one in diet advice world. And I was like, it has absolutely, I just had this acute awareness that it has never been a possibility for me to be like, I'd actually rather not have some water.
It's just wild that like, this is basically a universal experience among women.
Oh, dieting?
Like, it's not 100%, but it's pretty close to 100%.
I mean, I should also say, like, most of the people that I know and most of the people that I'm pulling from in my life experience have overwhelmingly been either middle class white women or people in middle class to wealthy white spaces.
Mm-hmm.
That's also like what we know sort of research wise is that dieting has a real stronghold on white women in particular,
mm-hmm.
partly because of the ways in which body size and shape has been racialized so effectively, right?
Mm.
You don't want to look fat because fat is a thing that poor people are, and fat is a thing that people of color are, and fat is a thing that people who are uneducated are, right? Like, it sort of sends all of these messages about you. So you have to maintain your thinness as a way to maintain your neutrality and your membership as part of an in-group, right?
Right, right.
What did you think of Kelly Ripa?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel mean, like, shitting on her diet, even though her diet is objectively insane. But, like, it's this video series is just so weird to me that this exists. I don't like this level of scrutiny of other people because, like, the only reason to watch this is, like, to judge it or to aspire to it.
Yeah.
It also invites all of the celebrities involved to lie. So like, you're not even getting an accurate picture of these people. You're getting whatever they want to tell you they're doing. It's just like this weird reproduction of cultural ideas around food.
Yeah, the whole thing, I'm with you. It feels mean to talk about it. And also, like, I think the thing that I was left thinking about as I watched all of these fucking videos was like, it definitely makes me think about, you know, in the same way that we like had our conversation about fat suits and we're like, hey man, it's sort of the actor, but a lot of it is the director and the casting director and the, like, there's like a whole machine of people making these. That's the part that seems fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Are you ready for a palate cleanser?
Let's do it. Cleanse me.
So we're going to watch two little clips of Tiffany Haddish.
You guys take one more.
Hey, I'm Tiffany Haddish, and this is everything I eat in a day. Do you really want to know the first thing I do when I wake up? Usually I stretch, I look at my hands, and I say, oh, I made it to another day. New chance for new beginnings. And then I pass gas. Then I'm like, what am I going to eat? And that's when I head to the kitchen. And I open up the refrigerator, I look inside, I close it, and I go, wow, I don't have no food. Then I go over to the cabinets, and I open that up, and I close them, and I go, wow, I don't have no food. Then I go back to the refrigerator, and I open it up again. I got some food. Look at that. There goes some chicken from last night. I go ahead, I put that in a little pan, I warm that up in the oven, boop, bada bink. While it's in the oven warming up, I'm like, I probably should wash my ass. Then I go ahead and I take a shower while that's in the oven, because, you know, it takes a long time to heat stuff up in the oven. That's about 15 minutes. I only need 5 minutes to wash this ass. It's a big ass, but not that much ass. So then I take that shower and stuff, and I got my towel wrapped around me. I say, oh, what's that smell? That's the chicken from last night that I put in the oven. So I go ahead and I put my mitts on. I put put your evermints on. Mind you, I'm in a towel, okay? Sexy. And I pull out my little chicken. Then I go to my garden. I said, dang, I need some vegetables. So then I go out to the garden, right? I go into the back into the garden. I got strawberries back there. I got some kale back there. I got some chard, you know, celeries. So then I eat the strawberries right the dirt, right out the dirt.
There you go. We can pause there. Uh-huh. Tell me your thoughts so far.
This all sounds fake. This one sounds fake, but I'm happy that someone is eating. I'm happy that someone is normalizing, like, having a normal meal.
Yes, that's what I'm like, look, okay, if we assume that all of these are fucking fake, they probably are on some level.
Of course.
What I appreciate is that she's just like, I throw some leftover chicken in the oven, and that's like, yeah, her version of like a meal that adults have sometimes. Yes. I also think as a person with a vegetable garden, I'm like, you're not every day going out and eating strawberries right out of the dirt.
I mean,
but that's also how I eat things out of my garden.
Really?
Just pick them and eat them right there. Absolutely.
See, I've never had a garden.
Oh, I love to have like chicken and dumplings for dinner. Chicken is a main thing, I think, in my diet. I sometimes try to eat lamb, but I'm not that sophisticated. It bothers me. I think about Mary and I say, dang, she had a little lamb. And then it just goes into a whole thing, and then I can't finish the lamb. And it also tastes a little bit like musty armpit to me. And I know some of y'all probably saying, Tiffany, how do you know what musty armpit tastes like? I've dated.
We don't have to do more than that. I just appreciated someone being like, here's a fancy food. Like, she like starts to talk about it and she's like, I'm not that sophisticated. And then she's like, I don't like the way it tastes. And I'm like, there it is. That's the answer. Anyway, those are our celebrity food diaries.
Celebrity food diaries.
Thoughts, reflections, anything we should say?
I'm like so bummed out by this entire project.
Oh, sorry.
It's like this whole industry around producing quote unquote relatable celebrity content kind of bothers me. And then the weird incentives, and then just like the actual lifestyles of people who have to meet society's conventional beauty standards. It just seems really bad, and people shouldn't have to live like this.
If you really want to bum yourself out, the thing to do would be to look at the view counts on these videos.
I was looking at those.
Because they are in the millions.
Yeah, the Ian Somerhalder one, which is going to be in my right-hand bar for the next, like, 45 years. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Has 4.5 million views.
So there you go.
Right.
Mike, it's been a real treat to talk to you about this. I'm going to go wait for 6 hours and then have my first chewing food of the day.
Phase two. Phase two begins.